So now I would like to welcome Dr. Prophet and Pastor Tim Hines up to our pulpit.
Well, good morning, everybody. Is it almost afternoon time, but good morning. Nevertheless, good to see you. Good to be back with you. Where's that young man at that got a word from the Lord this morning? Where's he at? Can I encourage you? There's a lot of people in your life right now that are just frustrated with you. But can I tell you, God is not. Amen. All right? You're going in a good direction. Amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord. All right. How many have your Bibles with you this morning or this afternoon, close this afternoon? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and our text will begin in verse 16. I just want to say it's good to be back with you. It's good to see you. I trust and pray that today's message will wash your feet and minister life to you. I'm amazed at how many people in today's church world really do not know how to live from their spirit man. And I had a pastor, and a young pastor, a millennial pastor, and he said to me, he said, "You're just too Pentecostal for our millennial culture." Now that said everything to me. It said that, you know, Kenneth Hagin said, "Let one generation miss the move of God and it will be almost virtually impossible to get it back." So young people, I want to encourage you. As I've been sharing this, young people are looking at me and they're captivated by it because they realize that it's a relationship that really they're hungry for. They just have not known how to go about capturing it. Okay? But I will tell you that this will capture you. And as it captures you, you'll hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit and for His influence on your life, and you'll not be satisfied with anything else. And as Apostle was talking about, you know, this woman, she was thirsty. I mean, she had five husbands, and the one she was living with, number six, how many realize that six is the number of man? Man can't satisfy himself. Okay, and she was not even wanting to be legally bound to this. Okay, it goes to tell you, it just really goes to show you a whole lot until the seventh man showed up in her life.
Amen. Come on, man.
Seven is the number of completion. Amen. So this, everything about the kingdom is full of completion. Everything about the work of redemption offers wholeness. Okay, everything about life is trying to fragment you and wound you and bruise you and break you. But you have to, this is why you can't live from the influence that is out here. You have to learn to live from the influence that is in your spirit. Okay? One of the greatest things that ever happened to me is when I first got saved, I was discipled by intercessors. Now, these are people that were submitted to authority and people that knew how to pray and people that introduced me to this relationship called the Holy Ghost. Now, you have to remember something. Maybe it was a good thing and I didn't have to undo a lot of church stuff, but I was a straight up sinner, okay? And I mean, when the Marine Corps wants to kick you out on a bad conduct discharge, you about hit bottom. You know what I'm saying? And then the Lord rescued me my last year in the Marine Corps and totally just changed everything around. And I was honorably discharged from the service and been living honorably ever since. Amen. You know, but people won't understand you, I'll guarantee you. Because this is why the Bible tells us that we don't need to lean to our own understanding. We need to acknowledge God in all of our ways and allow Him to direct our paths. Because most people they're leaning to their own understanding. They're trying to figure things out on their own ability. And I'll tell you that there's just certain things that the mind of Christ is just designed that is just way above any kind of influence that would try and seduce you and cause you to live with something lesser. Okay? Sometimes you battle with religious people, and I don't really like to square off with religious people because they're blind.
It's not fair.
They don't even understand what you're talking about. You hit them with revelation, they just go on. But you know, in John 9, it's interesting that Jesus opens the eyes of a blind man, and the religious world had a problem with it.
Yeah.
Please understand something. You know, demons respect authority, religion doesn't. You know, and you got to contend with this stuff. You got to discern what you're dealing with here, okay? And this is why Jesus said what he said in John 10. In John 10, there is no battle with demonic activity at all. It's religion. John 10 and 10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not talking about the devil. He's talking about the religious system. He said, I'm the door. And anybody that tries to come into this thing in any other way than coming through the door, doing it my way, is like a thief and a robber trying to scale the walls. Okay? So you have to remember that if you possess the ability to open the eyes of the blind, people will have a problem with you. Okay? Because they're so used to being seduced by a system. Okay? This is why I listen. I pay attention and I listen to what people say, because it lets me know where they're at. Amen. All right. So, all right. Are we ready this morning or this afternoon? Seeing it's 12:01 and Pastor Apostle told me that I could go as long as I want. So I hope you packed a lunch. By the time we're done, your neighbor's going to look at you and say, hey, you were supposed to shave before you came. No. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Okay. Therefore, how many realize that when you read scripture in the Bible and you find the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for? Okay? So it wasn't that deep. Amen. Therefore, we do not lose heart. How many realize that life is designed to do exactly that? For you to just fall on your face. Lose heart. Things come up. Things go awry. Things go amiss. I mean, you know, this is the way the enemy works. He works at doing his best to corrupt and bruise and batter and bereave in whatever way he can, okay? But the scripture says this, therefore we do not lose heart. How does this happen? Even though the outward man is perishing, I will tell you, there's no way out of this life other than to get free of this rental suit. Okay? Your body will go to the ground. Amen. But to be absent from it is to be present with the Lord. But I will tell you that you can live present with the Lord while you're still in this rental suit. This is why your body is called the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed only when Apostle Rob preaches on Sunday. No. It says the inward man is being renewed day by day. What does this mean? It means that you must have a daily communion with the Holy Spirit. The word renewed, the part of you that knows eternity, Ecclesiastes 3:11, it has no limits on it. It's the part of you that is in touch with eternity. It's the part of you that relates to God. It's the part of you that is in fellowship with the one that's been sent to lead you and guide you into all truth, God the Holy Ghost. It's the part of you where the divine nature of God is. It's the part of you where the mind of Christ rings out from. It's the part of you where the fruit of the Spirit begins to implement proper behavior in your life. It's the part of you where the gifts of the Spirit operate from. Your born again spirit. There is no corruption in your born again spirit. Amen. Nothing but the influence of the divine nature of God. God the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn how to commune from this perspective. You've got to learn how to develop an ear to hear Him, a heart to understand Him, a mind that is yielded regardless of what the Lord would ask of you. Sometimes the Lord tells me to do the craziest things. You know, I mean, I was down at, not too long ago. I mean, I thoroughly embarrassed my family, but my spirit was going, woohoo, you know. And I'm preaching in front of 700 people, and the Lord said, okay, now that you've prophesied and gave out my word, now I want you to roll across the stage. I said, God, what's wrong with you? Hello? And I'm telling you, it was an unction that the Lord was giving other people, the same unction, but they were afraid to do it. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes God will give you an unction in your spirit. Your soul will wrestle with it because it's just not logical. But it frees people around you. Hello? I remember the Lord said, dip your finger in oil and shove it in that lady's ear right there. Just shove it in her ear. I said, what? Yeah. Her husband's driving a tractor 25 miles away from the meeting. And the minute I shoved my finger in her ear, the Holy Ghost came on him on his John Deere tractor. Now, that's a free advertisement. And his John Deere tractor and pumped in a brand new eardrum.
Wow.
Are you? Hello? You know, you've got to learn how to commune with him. And he'll tell you the craziest things, but he'll use it to rescue people.
Yes.
I remember when I'm in church, I'm at Norval Hayes' Bible College, and I'm doing seminars, and the Lord said, that lady on the second row, she's a stripper, and I want to talk to her. Now, when you're calling people strippers in church, you better be hearing from God. That's all I'm saying, amen? I mean, I could go story after story after story. I never forget it. I went to anybody ever witnessed or cast the devil out of somebody in a rest stop bathroom? Well, I'm walking into the bathroom and this kid passes me and he's reeking with Bacardi and Coke. You might say, well, how do you know what Bacardi and Coke smells like? Hey, look, like I said, I hadn't always been saved. You know what I'm saying? So he passes me and I hand him a tract because I hand out tracts everywhere I go. And I said, young man, I said, the Lord's got a plan for you. And I went into the bathroom and I did my business, washing my hands, and I catch him out of the corner of my eye. And I'm thinking to myself, this is either going to go well or it's going to go bad. You know what I'm saying? And he walks over to me and he said, sir, he said, when you handed me this tract, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, he wants me back. I said, you're right. I said, you're right. And he said, my uncle is a tent preacher and I used to travel with him. I knew the power of God, but I walked away from the Lord. And I said, all right. I said, I'm going to lead you back to him in prayer and then I'm going to get you free of that alcohol. I led him in the sinner's prayer and I started to cast the devil out of him right there in the rest stop bathroom. Now, if you've never cast the devil out of in a restroom that big, there's some echo. You know what I'm saying? So I latched onto him and I said, devil! And you could hear it ring out, devil, 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 come out, come out, come out. I could hear stall doors locking, man. People picking up their feet going, what the heck is going on? Come out of him! Come on, amen. Hey, life is interesting when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm just saying. Okay, so how does this happen? How does this play out? How do we see this? It's called spending time with him. Prayer. Everybody shout prayer.
Prayer.
I know that people don't like to pray until they have to. But let me tell you something. If you don't pray, if the only time you pray is when you have to, it's a prayer of desperation. Amen. Things happen while you're on your way to prayer or you're either coming from prayer. Anybody ever heard of Evan Roberts? Evan Roberts was the great revivalist of the Welsh revival. He said, I went to prayer and God lit the embers of revival in me. I would go out and preach and I would come back to where God filled my cup and I would let him reignite me. How many realize that that's what the early church was all about? On the day of Pentecost, they gathered together and prayed and something happened, right? Now, it's interesting that in chapter 3, after chapter 2, they're on their way back to the hour of prayer. Where were they going? They were going back to the upper room, back to fellowship with the Holy Ghost, back to get into the koinonia of where God lit fresh fire in their life. Amen. And then something happened. There was a man begging alms, and he said, such as I have. How many realize that you don't have half the Jesus that I got? You don't have half the Holy Ghost that I have. You've got the same Jesus, same Holy Ghost, same God the Father, same Word of God, same presence, same power to be able to do the same works. Right? Okay? We know what happens. A miracle manifests in this man. The church comes under extreme persecution. And chapter 4, verse 31, they go back to where God lit the embers. And the place was shook. And they were all freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget it. In 2001, revival broke out at the most, unrealistic time on Easter Sunday. And I spent 30 days with the church and 350 people got saved in this meeting. just ran into a lady 2 years ago that got healed in the meeting. She's passing the building, and the marquee says we're in revival, and only two seats open on the front row, and she was in stage 4 cancer, bleeding from a couple of places in her body. She sits down. I'm about 3 minutes into my message, and the Lord says she's got an issue of blood, and I'm going to heal her. I said, ma'am, you've got an issue of blood, and the Lord says he's going to heal you. She fell out of her seat on the floor, laid there for 30 minutes, and got up totally healed. I ran into her 2 years ago, and she says, preacher, I'm still saved, and I'm still healed in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, man, the Holy Ghost is a trip. I mean, that's the whole reason why I don't do drugs today. Amen. So we need to renew our spirit. You need to spend time with him. We all desire change, right? Let me just encourage you. Your heart's got to change. How does your heart change? Your heart changes when he begins to influence you. You want your attitude to change? You want to start doing something with a spirit of excellence? You've got to let the one that has been sent to lead you and guide you change your heart. He'll change your attitude. Then all of a sudden, everything around you will change. Change in here demands change out here. If you will not change in here, don't expect anything to be different out here. Love the way you're shouting right now. But we have to understand that most people in church today either do not know or they have forgotten what Christianity looks like. We go ahead and dress it up all we want. We can make the freak show look just about like anything we want. Are you listening? Okay. But I will tell you, friends, most people come to church and all they're encountering is an emotional feel-good service. And please hear me. There's nothing wrong with absorbing what's in the atmosphere. What's in the atmosphere often is healing or deliverance or breakthrough. But if that is all you are absorbing, and you are not really understanding the whole reason why God has come to manifest himself, then you're missing the whole invitation. You see, we don't ask God to join us. God asks us to join him. It's better to be where he is than ask him to come and be where we are. So if all we're getting is the healing, you might say, well, what's wrong with the healing? There's nothing wrong with the healing. Listen, can I be honest with you? I'm trying to get people in touch with the atmosphere because God inhabits the praises of his people. And really, to be honest with you, he's trying to eliminate the middleman. Okay? You're born again for a reason. And it's not just to get your instruction or your enlightenment here. You're born again to fellowship with God. You're born again to study. See, you've received an anointing from him. Hello? Okay. And nobody else needs to teach you. Doesn't mean, oh, well, bless God, now I got 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. My excuse to stay out of church. No, well, you better read Hebrews chapter 2 and forsake not the assembly. Okay? What I'm saying is you don't always have to be dependent on the pulpit. God wants to turn your heart into his pulpit. Okay, turned Peter's business into his pulpit. Didn't even ask for permission either in Luke 5. Just got into one of Peter's boats and launched out a little bit and began to preach. I'm sure Peter was probably thinking, who is this guy? Right? Okay. So God wants us to be able to learn how to hear from him. Lady, just the other night, Friday night, she's in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair, hadn't walked in 2 years. And she's suffering under the paralysis of a stroke. And I'm looking at her. She's about as far as you are from me. I'm looking at her and I could see the desperation on her face. And I knew she was basically saying, pray for me. Pray for me. And I said, ma'am, I said, you want me to pray for you. And what God wants is God wants you to get out of that chair in his name and walk. A lot of times God's just not allowing me to pray for people. You know why? Because he's saying, I'll put my fingerprints on them. I'm watching the Lord pull paralysis off of people, stroke paralysis. A professor at Cornell University just a couple of months ago, I know him, he's an associate pastor at this church, been suffering under the paralysis of a stroke for 4 years, dragging his leg and can't hardly move his left arm. And I went to pray for him, and the Lord said, stop, don't touch him, I'm going to touch him. And all of a sudden, I watched it, just God peeled it right off of him, and he took off running. Yeah. Well, everybody knew me. How many of that? That's not a transit miracle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, this lady looked at me, and I looked at her. I just fixed the gaze on her. I wasn't gonna let her off the hook. And she got out of that chair and started walking. Yeah. Hadn't walked in 2 years. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Friday night, yes. The Lord would just say, the Lord would have me tell you this. His presence is trying to pull the paralysis of life off of you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's good.
Okay? Where you're fragmented and where the stronghold has ruled is that thing's under siege now. When you get into God's presence. Now you got to make a choice. Am I going to listen to the Holy Ghost? Or am I going to entertain all kinds of thoughts? Well, I'm not worthy, and this is wrong, and that's not right, and so on and so forth. Let me tell you something. Life is not called to, it's not called to dictate to you. You're called to dictate to life. Thank you for the three people that know what I'm talking about. So I tell you, the problem is most people in church today don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to be accountable because they don't want to be responsible. And it is a wrong picture of what Christianity looks like. You're not supposed to be insecure. You're supposed to be a giant killer. Are you listening? You're not supposed to be bitter. You're supposed to be better. Are you listening, folks? We're not supposed to be all these things that life wants to define us with. We're supposed to be what Christ has defined us to be. Are you listening? Okay? So your soul can't imitate the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people are coming to church and they're having this emotional experience with God. It was just wild. The meeting before that, 80 people got healed. I didn't touch nobody. You understand? Okay, you understand? All right. And this lady's got this boot, this big old walking boot on, and she's going, my foot's on fire. Well, she took the boot off and she began to realize that God was healing her right in the middle of praise and worship, and she threw that boot up on the stage. The place went crazy.
That boot was not for walking.
That boot wasn't for walking. You've been listening to too much Tina Turner. Hey, amen. What's been going on in your soul, brother? I'm messing, man. Hey, amen. I was listening to Van Halen the other day, so... Oh, we got to stop. Let's just stop. Okay, good. I feel something pulling on me. Amen. So people are having this soulless experience with God, and there's nothing wrong with your emotions being ministered to.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? But here's the thing. If this is all you're getting, and your character is not coming alive, your behavior is not being altered, your life is not experiencing conviction.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a bad word.
Yeah.
Conviction is agape on steroids. It's exchanging the old for the new. It's God basically saying, hey, look, I never designed for you to be subject to that. What I designed you to be subject to is wholeness. Now let me get the spots off of you. Let me get the wrinkles out of you. I don't want this in my love feast. Okay? All right? So this is a good process. We've got to learn how to let the Spirit of God alter our character. You see, your character is designed for the long haul. And character is everything. All right? This is why I don't get moved too much by emotions. All right? Because character means everything to me. It tells me who that person really is, not what they're trying to be. Are you listening? Okay, so character awakening, character maturity, behavioral change, thought life change, it all comes when you spend time with the Holy Spirit. When you are underneath the influence, you begin to absorb what He's saying to you and I. Okay, so I want to encourage you. You can only take intellectual people so far. This is where most people bail in church. Okay? Can I tell you something? This is should be the last church for you. If you'll be like a tree planted by the river of living water. Not only Psalms 1, but let's drag Isaiah into the picture. Chapter, I think right around chapter 54, he said the river that flows out of the house of God causes the trees that are planted by it to have fruit in every season. All right, so just decide this is the last church for me. God, send me all the people that offend me. Send me all the people that want to rub me the right way. Send me the preaching that will illuminate me, that will really give me a chance to take a good look at myself and where I'm really at, and get me out of this facade. You're not called to be a clone. You're not supposed to be a copy of somebody else. There's not a person in this room that has the same voice pattern, the same eye retina, the same fingerprints. Everybody in this room is divinely unique. This is why you can put a child in the middle of a crowd of 5,000 and have that child scream or cry in a mother's ear. Right? Come on, ladies. You know what I'm talking about. Right? Amen. So how do these things happen? You spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And sometimes the presence that you get into is not so much designed for the moment. It's often preparation for the future. If God ever tells you to fast and you don't see the immediate outcome of that fast, please understand that that fast puts something in motion that you haven't caught up with yet. Okay, it's like being in the meeting when you get around Revelation and you feel like stuff is glancing you, but you can't quite apprehend it. It's like, you know, Jonathan shooting arrows to warn his friend David about his father's intentions. He told his armor bearer, some of these arrows have been shot too far for you to retrieve in the moment. Sometimes when you get into a revelatory atmosphere, stuff will glance you and you go, oh my goodness, I couldn't really apprehend it. This is why you got to get the CD. This is why you got to listen to the podcast. You can't absorb it in one setting. You got to give yourself to it. Listen, you've got to meditate Joshua 1. You got to meditate on it day and night so that your way can prosper. Well, I just thought, you know, I'm just gracing people with my attendance on Sunday. Oh, yeah, right, okay. Well, thank you for coming. But please, you're not going to change anybody's world because your world won't change. Amen? Okay, so getting into God's presence. Many times my body will catch up with where my spirit travels. You might say, well, what the heck does that mean? Sometimes I don't know. Okay? But I just do. The world calls it deja vu. But I call it my body catching up with where my spirit's been. A lot of times I'll get out there and in the spirit, because I spend 4 or 5 hours a day in prayer, and I'll get out there in the spirit, and God will begin to download to my spirit. But a lot of times what God will tell you, this is why sometimes I can't lean to my logic. God will say, quickly, you got to quickly act on what I tell you, because it is way beyond you. And I got to get into that position so that when my body catches up with what the timing of God, I can be obedient. Obedience has always been my foundation for deliverance. Okay, and it'll be your foundation too. Jude verse 20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. Well, what does that mean? It means that faith has character in the present as well as character for the future. Okay? Understand, man, one of the greatest things you could ever get a hold of is the character of faith. Because there's no losing there. There's no defeat there. Okay? I mean, faith will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. Young people are looking at me like, what the heck does that mean?
What's a phone booth?
What's a phone booth? That's right. Rotary phone, man. You know what I'm saying? You put a quarter in, one ringy-dingy. Young people, you know, some of this stuff, they're going, what the heck? Everything's voice activated now, and amen. But can I encourage you? The Holy Spirit down on the inside of you, this is one of the things that I love about Him the most. He knows how to love deep and communicate extremely well. There's not anything that you have to be afraid of. when it comes to how he wants to take out of you the roots of pain. All right, he's the first successful heart transplant surgeon. When he took out the heart of stone and pumped in a heart of flesh, Ezekiel 36. Amen. Spurgeon brings commentary. Are you aware that Charles Spurgeon spent his entire life? He was chronically depressed his entire life. But yet he wrote such eloquent things like, you know, you let the Spirit of God commune with you and he'll change every aspect of your life. You won't have an appetite to sin. You'll have an appetite for righteousness. How many realize that in Luke 19, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to communicate? Zacchaeus, I know that you're a wee little man, but a wee little man wanted to see me, right? So he climbed up into a sycamore tree, right? One lunch with Jesus changed everything. He told Zacchaeus this. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not who. But what was lost was the original state of wholeness, the glory of the Lord. And the minute you get born again, that's the way God looks at you. God does not look at you flawed. He looks at you whole. So would you let the Holy Ghost get the flaws out, because they're not who you are? You can go ahead and make all the excuses you want. Well, I've been through this and I've been through that and I've been dropped by this and I've been dropped by that. Hey, listen. There was a young man that was dropped one day, Mephibosheth.
That's right.
He was dropped by somebody that he trusted, and it crippled his walk. And he fled to live in Lodabar, or geographically, it could look like being as described like looking at the moon. And this is where the enemy would love for some of you to live, in Lodabar. But you know what David said?
Yeah.
David said, go and fetch him.
That's right.
Go and fetch him. You know how you know you're being fetched? When God prepares somebody to know you and you don't know them.
Come on.
Now you're being fetched. You know why? Because you don't belong in Lodabar. You belong at the king's table.
That's right.
All right. And here's the cool thing about the king's table. Everybody sitting at the table, all that can be seen is from the waist up.
That's it.
Nobody knows about the waist down, you know, the walk that people have. All right, so you belong at the table. Let God take care of the walk.
Uh-huh.
All right, will you do that?
Yeah.
Amen. Just because you trusted somebody that hurts you, you need to get over it.
Yeah.
Because it's affecting your walk. It's causing barrenness in your life. It's keeping you from really being the person that God knows. All right. Rahashitai. Lord, the Lord says this. The Lord says, I see you beyond the pain.
Yeah.
Okay. You're all right. You let your soul be all right today, okay? We're going to let the Lord love on us today. Amen. Thank you for your willingness. You're all right. You're okay. But there's some stuff that started early in you that has always haunted you, that you thought that you could suppress and get past it, but it's coming to the surface, and you're going to be free of it.
Amen.
We're all okay, okay? We're all okay. Amen. Glory to God. God's mining the gold right now, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Mining the gold. This is good. All right, so here's this woman. She's caught in adultery. And let me grab my towel, son. And we know what's happening. We know that the religious are trying to test Jesus. But you know, what's interesting to me is, well, where was the guy that was involved with all this? Because the law said that both the man and the woman had to be stoned. Okay? So we know what happens. We know that, listen, I know what time it is, okay? But let's...
We're good. It's time to preach.
This can only handle what this can handle, okay? It's truth. I know people might have stuff planned, but God's got something planned.
Yes.
All right. There is a healing that is going to deliver the soul of this house today.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Whew. It's all right. You just do whatever you need to do. I want to give you, can I give you a scripture? Psalms 56, verse 8. Would you read it, sir? Would you stand up and read it? Do you have a loud voice? Psalms 56, verse 8. This is you. This is for you. Now, everybody hear it. If it's for him, how many realize really God's trying to say it's for all of us?
Yes.
Listen, read it real loud. What version do you use? New King James. He's saved. Amen. Now, wait, before you read. Are you listening? Darling, here we go. Okay.
Psalm 56, verse 8. You number my wanderings.
You need to say that loud.
You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?
Keep reading.
When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me.
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
There you go. Amen. So from this point on, let me just put the enemy on notice. From this point on, there is coming a showdown. There's a contending for deliverance today. And I pray that right now we all make the choice. God, you have liberty with me today.
Amen.
Will you do it?
Yes.
All right. So keep your soul dialed in, okay? Because here we go. All right. Now, this is what happened. Jesus said, okay, well, I know that you're trying to test me, but let me just bump it to a different level. Let me introduce you to something here. This is called the kingdom and the way the kingdom thinks. Not too long ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm going to change the way you see things. And he said, in the process of me changing your vision, you're going to find that you're living a lifestyle that's standing in the way of seeing the way I see. And I went, what? I thought I was living pretty clean. And you know what the Lord kept telling me? It's attitude of heart. It's the quiet things, the unseen things. You know, the things that only you and the Holy Ghost know about. And he said, you've got to give that life to me so that you can lose it to be able to find the life that I'm trying to show you. I'm telling you, urahashitai. I'm telling you, it's time for you to let go of everything and anything so that you can start seeing how God wants you to see it. And listen, no condemnation, but see what your vision presently has been trying to corrupt your life with. Ooh, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Amen. But my throat's almost clear and I'm almost out of this introduction. Okay? But what's going on? What'd you say? 36. You got me on the timer? Son, I'm way off the clock today. I'm not flying by the normal radar today. Okay? Amen. There are multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision right now. And the day of the Lord is drawn close. Amen. You're not here by accident is what I'm saying. Okay, so we know what happens. Well, Jesus said, hey, look, I know you've come to test me, but I'm getting ready to test you. I'm getting ready to reveal to you how contrary you really are to me, just by way of nature. How many realize that what they were trying to do is they were trying to bury this woman with their sin? You know how many people, because somebody's made a mistake in their life, try and hurt them, try and bury them and bury them and bury them? Let me tell you something. You're the one that's burying yourself. And it's time for you to heal and be delivered so that you can live the resurrected life. Are you hearing me? Okay. So we know what happens. We know Jesus said, ye without this specific sin. How many realize that you might not have been in adultery, but you know, you got other adulterous ways about you. You got other cheating ways about you is what I'm saying. Hello? Amen. Cast the stone first. They dropped the rocks. Why? Because Jesus bent down and started writing in the dirt. Theologians believe that what Jesus was writing in the dirt, seeing that Ezekiel tells us that the names of the wicked are written in the earth, theologians believe that what he was writing out was her appointment book and their name happened to be in it. What I'm trying to tell you is we have a choice to make. Either the nature of this world that walks in unforgiveness, and let me tell you something. Have you ever noticed that sometimes You know, first appearances can often be lasting appearances. And you can develop a critical spirit from that. When maybe that person, bless you, maybe that person is not on their A game. You better be careful about judging people when they're in their winter time and you're in your springtime. Hello? Okay. So I will tell you, the Holy Ghost knows how to get us all free and get us all in a good place. It's called communion. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Okay. T.L. Lowry told me one day, he said, son, if you can't manifest this book, you need to sit down. And I went, what? What was he telling me? He was telling me that the Word of God, if it's preached correctly, should have signs and wonders attached to it.
That's right.
What was he saying? He was saying that if you'll spend time with the one that basically inspired men to write the book and be inspired the same with the same inspiration that they wrote the book with, then you can catch the revelation of what I said when I said it, so that when you say it when it needs to be said, it can take on signs and wonders. Thank God for pulpits that will be filled with the Word of the Lord. Amen. Okay? So communion, even in your communion elements. Listen, folks, when you partake of the bread, it is more prophetic than it is symbolic. Because it releases something. The bread releases the body and the fullness of the body to your life. The wine or the cup, the juice, it's symbolic, yes, but it's more prophetic because it releases the covenant, forgiveness. It releases the life of the kingdom of God. Because life is in the blood. Amen. So we need strategy. Understand this. One of the hardest things that you'll ever find is making your prayer closet a priority. The devil will fight you tooth and nail. You don't have time. I just think that really my prayer time should consist of maybe orange juice and a McDonald's biscuit, and I'll pray on my way to work. Well, let me tell you something. If that's your prayer time, I'm going to start praying that other people around you start praying for you, because you're dangerous. Hello? You've got to have consecrated time with God, alone time with God. Are you hearing me? Okay? So please understand that it's going to be a battle, but once you get into your prayer closet, one of the greatest things that will ever take place is for the enemy trying to remove you from this kind of communion, because you will connect with something that will totally change your life. Answers that you've been waiting on that you can't get on your own. A nature that you're desperately wanting and hungering for will come forth from this type of fellowship. It's not going to be able to be. Listen, you can't get it by reading a book. I mean, other than the book, I mean, the book, okay? But you need a strategy. This is why 2 Chronicles 20 and 20 tells us this. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Okay? I've been telling the body of Christ all year long that what God has been trying to do in 2019 is to give us 2020 vision. You get into your prayer closet, I'll guarantee you, you'll see farther from your knees than you will standing up. All right, 20 is the number of redemption, so we are headed for a season of a double portion of a redeeming time. Are you hearing me? Okay, so please understand that this is where we are. This is what we're trending towards. This is what we are, God's trying to get us in the right kind of cadence to march correctly, where we don't pierce one another through like Joel speaks of. We stay in our ranks. We understand who we are. There's no spirit of competition. Hello? Okay. So all of us need a strategy. And I'm thankful that we can have a strategy for prayer. We can have a strategy for marriage and children and finances and health and ministry and in every lane of life that we find ourselves in. Okay? You learn how to win in prayer and it's over. You'll know exactly what to do when you don't know what to do. You can get alone. Please understand this. The Lord says this. There's two things that are going to be right things to do whenever you need to do them. And that's learning how to lift your hands and give God praise in the face of adversity. Come on. Then praying in tongues. Yep. You pray in tongues, and if you praise God like you've lost your mind, those will always be the two right things to do. Yeah. Nothing sends a colder chill down the devil's spine than when he thinks he's got you right where he thinks he's going to take you out, and you can lift your hands and give God a crazy praise and begin to pray in tongues and lean on the influence of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, he didn't know what to do with you now. And you keep doing it until he leaves. Remember, I was witnessing to this witch, and she attached a demon to me. You know, she cursed me, and I got home, and I'm taking a shower, and that demon showed up in my bathroom, and the minute I felt the evil presence, I wanted to take authority over it and expel it from my home. And the Holy Ghost said, no, make it wait for you to get out of the shower. Longest shower I took. The longest shower I've ever took in my life. And the Lord said, once you get out of the shower, take authority over it. Command, God, please, don't ask me to go there. Put it in that recliner and then preach to it for 30 minutes before you send it back to the one that sent it to you. Can I ratchet it just up a little bit? We're going to have to watch our terminology. We're going to have to think different in the days to come, and we're going to have to watch our verbiage. It's okay. Listen to me. When most people do not know how to govern the first fervorment with dominion and authority, they'll try and opt out of what they can't get settled because of lack of character. And they'll try and be spiritual, and they'll try and enter into a different warfare where they don't belong. Okay? All right. Now, you can say, I take authority over hindrances in this first fervorment. But I will tell you, when you address a principality, you better address it the way Michael did when he was contending over the body of Moses. The Lord rebukes this. Different level. Okay, different level. Now, you have no business fooling around in the second heaven. But I will tell you this, when you are conducting your affairs right in the first fervorment, and now you are starting to do what the church is governed to do, and that's to bring people out of the influence of a principality, that's when that principality will leave its jurisdiction and come into a jurisdiction where it doesn't have authority. But when it shows up with its characteristics, you better discern what's going on. It's Ephesians chapter 3. The church needs to make known to the manifested wisdom of God two principalities. Please hear me. This is why the armor of God is not for demons. They're for principalities. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, thrones, and wickedness in high places. Therefore, I take on the helmet of salvation. Why? Because in this first fervorment, you have authority in the name of Christ. When the second level steps out of its jurisdiction, you better be prepped by way of understanding the language of the kingdom. And the church is designed to win on this level. Okay? Future sermon. Right?
I got it.
Amen. Okay. So please hear me. You don't renew your mind just by, you know, selecting any old scripture to say, I'm going to renew my mind with it. Okay, listen to what I'm going to say. You renew your mind with the inspired word of God, but that inspired word of God only comes from your prayer time. So you get revelation from the word of God by renewing your spirit man in prayer. Fruit from the word of God, revelation from the word of God, is evidence of a renewed spirit. Now remember that word renewed means refreshed and growing, okay? Romans 12 and 2 does tell us, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. So if we're really renewing our mind with the inspired word of God that we are getting out of the communion, that our spirit man is being refreshed and growing under the tutoring of the Holy Ghost, then this is what's happening. We never have an appetite for the things of this life because we can't justify it, because we spend time in the right influence. There was never a suggestion of me, you know, trying to justify something that I know is not supposed to be part of my nature. I am too under the influence of a different nature. And as soon as, see, it's Hebrews 5. You can even cause your senses to discern the difference between good and evil. All right? It's not like you've got to run around and be this spiritual giant all the time. You can get your 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, you can get your soul and your spirit and your body in harmony with God, and everything can be whole. Okay? I feel he's slipping on me. I'm having fun and you're getting tired. Okay? Let me share with you in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, we know what happens. We know that Jesus' disciples have come to him and they're asking him to teach them to pray. And this is what they say: Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. What does this say to us? It tells us in Mark chapter 6, right around verse 48, that even Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected. That tells us that these Old Testament prophets, because they walked after the unction of God, seven out of the nine gifts of the Spirit were operative in the Old Testament. Tongues and interpretation of tongues happened on the day of Pentecost, okay? Completing the nine gifts of the Spirit. But they walked after the same unction that you and I are being led by. They just didn't speak to axe heads to swim. They just didn't speak for manna to come. They acted out of an unction, same unction that you operate out of, okay? Now, Herod thought that Jesus was John resurrected, so it tells me that John moved in power. Yeah. This is why the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, teach us to pray. Yeah. Notice what they didn't say. Lord, teach us to walk on water. Yeah. Lord, teach us to raise the dead. What were they saying? Everything I see you doing, I associate it with
prayer.
Communion, fellowship in the Holy Ghost, renewing your spirit, keeping the part of you that's designed to be strong, a beacon, okay, in this fallen world, keeping it in the right fellowship. Are you listening? Okay? Now let me show you something. I'm going to go ahead and close with this. Would this be all right? You know, sometimes when you're in churches and you say, I'm getting ready to close, most people think, you know, well, that don't mean nothing. Okay, but this means something. This is my only closing, okay? In Matthew 26, I love this because Jesus is preparing to go to Calvary, and how many realize that he needed this time alone with the Father to be able to carry out his mission? Hello? Understand this. You are going to need the communion that God is wanting with you if you're going to really finish your mission. Okay? So in Matthew 26, verse 40, the Bible says, and he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. Now, my first thought is this. How do you go to sleep in this kind of invited space? I tell you how you go to sleep. How do you get discouraged in your prayer walk? When you get into vain repetition. When you are praying prayers that aren't being answered. If you ever pray a prayer that hasn't been answered, please understand, God's trying to tell you something. You can do this. Don't ask me to get involved. Let me show you how I am involved with you and how I'll show. This is why you never ask God to get you out of the fire. God did not get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. He joined them in it. God's not going to get you out of stuff. He's going to show you, I'm right here in the middle of it, and I'll show you how to walk out of it unscathed. I'll show you how to spend the night in a lion's den. And I'll padlock the chin of every lion present, and I'll stretch out a fur-lined couch for you to spend the night on. Don't ask me to get you out. Understand that I'm right there in the middle of it. Ooh, somebody help me. How many realize that he hadn't changed? He's still a wet water walker. He's still a blind-eyed seer. He's still a leper cleanser and a lame leg straightener. Glory, right in the middle of my trouble? That's right. Amen. Glory to God. When you find out who you really are and who really is in you, and the enemy will have trouble.
Yeah.
It will not go well for him. I'm just saying, okay? Amen? So what happens? They're asleep, and Jesus is prepping for his greatest mission. And he comes back and finds them asleep. And notice what happens. The Bible says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to
Peter.
Well, James and John were there too. Why did he single Peter out? The same reason why he singled you out today. It's because he knows that where you're at right now is not where he needs you to be able to identify the next season. God needed Peter to represent on the day of Pentecost. And the enemy launched a plan to try and keep him from it. But Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 31, I've prayed. I've prayed, and I love Hebrews 7, verse 25. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's still praying. He's praying for you to be able to find your way into the next season, to be able to identify the next move. Somebody needs to be able to stand up and say, this is that.
Yeah.
I will tell Rashita. The Lord says this. The Lord says that your family has never known the freedom that I'm offering your family today. But you will stand up and declare one day, this is what God and God alone can do. Yes. To God be the glory.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody's got to be able to do that. Somebody's got to be able to stand up in the middle of ruins and go, you know what? You might have looked at me as being a burnt stone thrown off to the side, but I belong in the wall. You might be looking at me one way, but God's looking at me differently. You see, normally people will persecute you when they can't see what God sees about you. This is why you got to be patient with people. Because there's a lot of people that don't know where you've been. I love it. When David showed up to face Goliath, he said this to his brother, I'm here with a cause. And people that are letting God maneuver them right now are about ready to identify the cause and show up and represent the cause. Okay, so you go ahead and let your daddy, tell you that he doesn't love you and he's just, you're no good but just to tend sheep. You go ahead and feel like you've been forgotten, and go ahead and feel like you've been abandoned and you've been orphaned and you've been all these different things. But understand this, God knows exactly where you've been. And David didn't use that idle time, to be soaked up with misery and to be angry and bitter. You know what he did? He started writing songs, and he started preparing for the next season. He started getting ready for the greatest moments. He started practicing on bears and lions. What I'm trying to tell you is that there's a Goliath in your life today. It means that there's really a David in your heart.
Come on.
Just let the Holy Ghost show you that. Amen. So why Peter? Peter was the only one that had a revelation. John, next time you get lonely, think about how Jesus had to live. Nobody knew him. John the Baptist briefly knew him. And now the guy that caught a revelation of who he was now getting ready to deny him. Next time you feel alone. Okay? So what's happening? Matthew 16. Flesh and blood's not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And then all of a sudden, just a verse later, the scriptures says from that point on, Jesus began to share with them that he had to go to Jerusalem and prepare to go to Calvary. Okay? Please understand this. You're not going to have ears to hear beyond where you're at until you catch a revelation. But as soon as God starts talking beyond your pay grade, it's because your renewed spirit man has engaged somewhere. Okay? Peter, I need you to be somewhere. Church, I need you to be somewhere. Okay? So what happens? We know what happens. Peter begins to follow Jesus at a distance. He begins to warm himself in the wrong company. And he ends up denying Christ, the man that had a revelation of who he was. As soon as this revelation comes, the God of this world will come as equally strong. Okay? And what happened right after that was Jesus began to address the influence of the enemy on the soul of Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You're mindful of the things of men and not mindful of the things of God. He's not talking to Peter. He's talking to the battle that Peter's now engaged with, that's trying to maneuver him to warm himself in the company of the world and keep him from representing on the day of Pentecost. What I'm trying to tell you subtly, the war is coming. Okay? All right? But what happens? As soon as he denies Christ the third time, the cock crows, and the scripture says that he went out and wept bitterly. This is an interesting terminology in the Greek. It means he pierced his soul through with his own deliverance. How many realize that that's conviction? Chapter 27, verse 3 says that Thomas went out and was sorry for what he did. It's not time to be sorry. It's time to let the Holy Ghost pierce you. You're here today, and you know in your soul, in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions, you have things that have led you to stand in the way of what God really wants to do. And now you're ready to commune with the Holy Ghost in such a way that the past can finally be the past and you can start writing the future again. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, you know what? I got stuff in my soul. I got stuff in my soul. I got stuff from my childhood. I got stuff from people that I've trusted. I've got stuff. I've got poverty influence. I've got from, you know, ancestral curses and familiar spirits. And my family's always been alcoholics and always been womanizers and always been this. Let me tell you something. The buck stops here. Amen. You got stuff in your soul that you want the Holy Ghost to really pierce and flush from your system. Actually, what's happened is this. God has sent you a lamp today, Luke 15. Wealth has been missing in your house, and now the illumination has come, and it's time to sweep so that the wealth that's been missing can be found. Yes. Lamps are symbolic to prophets. Prophets will come in and shine the light and show you where the wealth is, and you don't have to live without the wealth any longer. Amen. Come on, amen. We ready for a good spring cleaning right now? Yeah. Are we ready for the Holy Ghost to really flush our souls right now? Yeah. If that's you, would you stand up and lift your hands to God? Hallelujah. Love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Glory to God Almighty. Father, you are the healer of the broken hearts. You are the one that lead those that are in prison. You're the one that swings open the prison gates. God, you're the one that delivers us. In the mighty name of Jesus, you heal us of all of our iniquities, and you heal us, Lord God, of all of our diseases. In the name of Jesus, wherever the trouble has been, Lord God, we're going to trouble the trouble right now. In the name of Jesus, look, just like the waters were troubled in John 5, I got nobody to help me down. What he was really saying is, I'm afraid to get involved the way I am. We're not afraid to get involved the way we are any longer. Lord, even if we sink to the bottom, dead things are formed from the bottom of the oceans. So in the name of Jesus, everybody in this room is in a win-win situation. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask for the fire of the Holy Ghost. We ask for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. We ask for the deliverance of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, destroy every yoke, undo every burden. In Jesus' mighty name, we say to every word that has been spoken over us, every unworthy word that has told us, that has belittled us and told us that we would be nobody and do nothing, we let it go right now. Every situation that's been beyond our control, in the name of Jesus, every person that's hurt us along the way, we let it go right now. Let this thing pierce you. Let this thing pierce you in the mighty name of Jesus. God needs you. God needs you in the right place in this next season for somebody to stand up and say, this is that. The same God that saved my marriage, this is that. The same God that restored my soul, this is that. The same God that baptized me with revelation and with a new beginning and a new walk in the Spirit, this is that. God needs people. like the rich young ruler. God needs people like a camel to get on their knees and let him unload the baggage that came from a previous destination. It's time for you to be processed through the gate. It's time for you to get on the other side of the wall. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I don't want to coach you up, but I feel like we ought to pray strong in the Spirit right now. And if you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, I say this to you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, you got the Holy Ghost in you. All you got to do is let him out of you. He wants out. He wants out. And he wants to be able to take what has been living in the wrong place out of our lives today. Receive the Holy Ghost. Greatest thing that will ever happen to you, to let that third party of the Trinity start ruling and reigning with real influence. Real influence. Soul-piercing influence. Life-changing influence. Occupational-changing influence. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak corporate deliverance over the people. The Lord said, now wait a minute. The Lord said, now wait a minute. He said, you better check that. I just simply say this. The Lord rebukes what's been in your life today. Amen. The Lord rebukes it. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout, whom the Son sets free.
Whom the Son sets free.
Is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
And I'm free.
And I'm free.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, can I tell you something? Best thing that could ever happen to you is for you to take this for a test drive. If you find traces of where this has been and where this is dictated and where this is controlled, take it for another test drive. Okay? Cry out to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I know that your nature is not like this, so I want this to go and I want your nature to be.
Yeah.
Will you do it?
Yeah.
Grace and peace, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. We had church today. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's a couple hours. It's like, oh my God, it's so long. It's just a couple hours of your life. Praise God. You know what I mean? A couple hours. Praise Jesus. Well spent, I think. Real quickly, Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4 says that through wisdom a house is built. By understanding is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. People read this and often apply this to their house, but when I read it, I thought about the church. Through wisdom, this house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches, souls, if you will. And there's a process to that. Built, established, and filled. This morning, I called Pastor Angela and Elder John Earler with me, and I said, hey, this is in my heart. I just want to show this to you. And then I said this. I said, perhaps a prophet will come at some point and say something about, you know, being established. It's this morning, right? Now go to that second Chronicles 20:20, I think it was. God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. That's a scripture that he came with today. You know, stuff does not happen by accident. You understand? So, built, established, and filled. There's a process. It's okay to go through the process. You know? Sometimes we get in a hurry and we realize that God's still working on us. I got blessed today, and I hope you did too. Praise God. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lift your hands up. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters, Lord God, that you've called out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord God. You've called them to shine, Lord God, to be a light in the darkness in the generation that they live. They're not an accident. You saw them before the foundation of the world and flung them, Lord, from eternity into time to live now and influence this generation that they live in, their world, Lord God. They are sons and daughters of the living God. Father, and I pray blessing over them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. It would make my heart just so blessed if you would go out and eat some Italian food right now, okay? God bless you and have a great day. See you Wednesday.